I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
From the imagination comes the story of a man.
Joe! Come on, boy, let's go. Grass is waiting for you.
With the mind of a child.
Yes, Cyboman, he came to see me.
Cyboman? Comics, right?
Yes, Cyboman.
And a doctor.
Virtual reality holds a key to the evolution of the human mind.
With a vision of the future.
I have a game in my house that you might like to play. Would you like that?
Yeah. Okay.
That was really bad.
I have different games. I even have one that could help make you smarter.
Now, Job Smith is about to enter the world of virtual reality.
Ah, it's gonna hit
no,
me!
No, Job, just relax. It's gonna be like being up there with the stars, Job. Like going to another planet.
His mind is like a clean, hungry sponge.
I just graduated to the next level, Job.
You're not the lawnmower man.
Well, you've certainly changed. I don't know how you did it, but I approve.
Absorbed Latin yesterday in less than 2 hours.
Job, where are you?
Job. A world where the normal course of events can suddenly turn inside out.
You realize, Dr. Angelo, that my intelligence has surpassed yours.
The imaginary becomes real.
Trying to get inside my head, Joe.
You can't hide anything from me, Dr. Angelo.
In reality,
we have no idea what he's going to do.
Is all in your mind.
No!
The Lawnmower Man.
Hello, and welcome to Smash Pod Royale, a podcast celebrating all the Bond films by those who enjoy, hate, or, you know, just aren't asked about them, hosted by me, John Rain. This week, we'll be donning our VR headsets and entering the very future of humanity, if you imagine your future to be living inside of an Atari ST. Yes, it's Lawnmower Man, and joining me to arm a chimp are Dr. Dean Burnett.
Hello, John. Thank you, Mr. Rain.
Hi, welcome. And professional Welshman Dan Thomas.
Hello, you two.
Hello.
Hello, Daniel. Oh, what's wrong with you?
Just to say you two aren't here.
Yet. Give it time.
Yeah. We should also point out before we get any further that we're in a first for Smash Pod. We're recording this by tethering on my phone because my entire streaked broadband is gone. And I can only think that it's linked to the film we're talking about this evening.
It's almost like someone doesn't want us to talk about it and has the ability to stop us.
Yeah, and also I remembered we recorded one a few weeks ago. My phone rang. That might have been him as well.
Yeah, so it's, imagine that. Because we actually never find out in this film what the bad guy wants. No. He just at one point says, I want to make a billion phone calls. And specifically to John in Worthing. I haven't talked to him in so long. And then a couple of weeks after that, I just feel like fucking up his internet.
Well, damn you, Job.
But also, I think that's possibly the most accurate thing in this film, in that at some point, It'll be very scary to have the landline ring, and that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, so. That does predict the future in that regard. Yeah,
and to give a chimp a gun,
gets right.
Give a chimp a gun, that's quite scary as well.
Well, chimp inverted commas.
Yeah, we never actually see its full body. We meet Dr. Lawrence Larry Angelo.
Mm.
Who works for a company called Virtual Space Industries.
Yeah. How on the nose is that company name? Go on, Pete.
Point of order, already on the off. I mean, I had like three or four notes about the opening text on the, you know, by the turn of the millennium, a technology known as virtual reality was in widespread use. Oh, bless.
Mm. Yeah.
But that's on a par with Demolition Man 3 Seashells, really, in terms of what actually happened. But the virtual space industry's logo...
Can I just say, I have been using seashells since the mid-90s.
Yeah, you know, but that's a Welsh thing as well, isn't it?
You know? Yeah.
It's because you live on the seashore.
Exactly, yeah. We've been lying to you about what lava bread is.
Where do you think you get it from, yeah?
God.
Yeah.
Let's ruin that.
Well, if you were into lava bread before this, I apologise, but I don't think that was likely.
I don't see the lava bread.
Yeah. Virtual Space Industries, it's just the logo is borderline indecipherable, right?
Mm.
It's meant to be a corporate branding.
That's foreshadowing the rest of the film.
Yeah.
Right, I see.
But
I'm
also,
not really a film guy.
Also, the opening text does say it will allow you to enter computer-generated artificial worlds. Is it artificial?
might as well say that.
Might as well. As unlimited as the imagination itself. I don't believe that. Its creators foresee millions of positive uses. Now, my son has got a VR headset, and his favourite game is Job Simulator.
So, that's my kid's favourite one of them as well, yeah.
Yeah. So I'd say they were wrong. Yeah. Wow. I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm working in a shop. I thought, that's fun, is it? Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's a joke in The Simpsons about VR. They had yard work simulator, and that's a real thing now. And
that is a real
yard
thing.
For yard work, you need a lawnmower. So maybe there is some sort of foreshadowing here.
Well, talking of foreshadowing, he's doing experiments on a monkey.
just the one as well.
Just the one. For battle simulations.
Well, hang on. It's not... It's not... He's only got one monkey now. But he had loads earlier because he says, screw the glass, he's the best chimp I've ever had.
He does.
Which is a brilliant line to hear Pierce Brosnan just say out loud, isn't it?
He's not talking about it in terms of science either.
No. He was the best friend quick. I ever had. He was the best mechanic. That monkey could do it all.
Yeah. Don't take it away. That's the best chimp I ever bummed.
But, you know, a buff scientist being overprotective of a chimp is how we got but Tim Burton's Battle of Planet of the Apes, isn't it? So
that's right.
Yeah. Seems to be a thing back from this era.
Careful what you wish for. Mm. But yeah, so this monkey, I mean ape, sorry, I'm going to get letters ape, if I keep saying monkey.
Yeah, of course.
He's being trained, rather than, you know what I'd have done, is I'd have started him on the pick up a banana, press this button, you get a banana. This one's doing fucking Call of Duty.
Yeah. Well, but it's they're supposed to be training a monkey for ape. Battlefield simulator. Ape, sorry. Mm-hmm. Monkey's a funnier word is the issue.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's the problem.
They're training this monkey, right?
Yeah.
To be like a soldier, which it feels like it costs more to train them to be a soldier than it would a normal human. They don't run as quick for a start, and they shit everywhere. Now, right. I think several thousand years of training humans has worked out fine. But anyway, they're training this bloke monkey.
Bloke monkey, yeah. Right? Yep.
This monkey bloke, right?
Is there a funnier sight than seeing a little chimpanzee in a suit being spun round on one of those VR things?
not really.
No, it's not. I think. Also, it's one size fits all on those things as well.
Like
strap up the monkey. I'm pretty sure Jeff Fahey isn't the same size as a monkey. Anyway. But they're training him in VR, but in a world, in a battlefield that doesn't look anything like a battlefield.
Oh.
No. It's all colourful explosions
what
and stuff.
Is for.
Yeah, I know you can't drop him into the sun.
He's playing Donkey Kong Jungle, isn't he, where it was called?
Possibly.
You know, the one where you shoot bananas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I vaguely remember that.
I don't remember that. That sounds like a Chris Rea music video.
Aping Home for Christmas.
There was a song called God's Grip Banana Skin, and the music video was a Mega Drive game with Chris Rea catching bananas.
Didn't that game actually exist as well? Like, didn't they make?
They did bring it out, and they thought, "Yeah, kids love Chris Rea. We're going to make a fortune." Didn't it sell a lot?
I really want to be in the room where that was decided.
You couldn't see much because it was a haze of cocaine, but you could have heard.
But in another universe, in a kind of Marvel What If universe, all the kids are into Chris Rea.
Yeah.
And like, there's a video game, there's a movie like Sonic the Hedgehog, but it's Chris Rea the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a terrible precedent, isn't it, if they bring out a Chris Rea video game and it does well. So then every middling pop star becomes a potential video game hero. And it would have been interesting, I guess.
I'd like
Christa
to think...
Berg's Normandy Landings.
Call of Spandau Ballet.
Oh, now we're all thinking of pop stars bringing. Russ Abbott's Halo, because he could sing about the atmosphere. When he's in space.
Thank you very much.
So basically, this ape spinning around in a virtual reality machine, and he's running around in this god awful CG nightmare.
Yeah, it's really, really... It's very early 90s computer-generated graphics. And
well, I found out a thing today, a fact, that the CGI company that did this, before they did The Lawnmower Man, their only jobs would be making Mexican tire adverts. So, and you know...
And you sent us that on WhatsApp, and I thought, I have no problem with it.
But the adverts did feature Chris Rea, so...
Yeah, they all did. They CGI'd Chris Rea.
Yeah. From Mexico, so it took a while.
They CGI'd a tyre blower and Chris Rea dies. And they're like, are you tired of Chris Rea dying? Get a real tyre. Mexico.
Anyway, where were we? Yeah, so the ape. We're never going to get past this ape, are we?
Well, this is a key bit of the film, really, because there's a lot of things to ask about this bleeding ape.
So the whole thing is run by a company called The Shop.
Yeah.
Which is apparently from a different Stephen King book.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is more than this one is, because it's not really Stephen King.
That's the only thing about actual Stephen King in this, isn't it? Because if you heard about the book he wrote, the short story, The Lawnmower Man, which has absolutely nothing to do with this.
No, the Lawnmower Man book, if people don't know at home, is about a man who says he's going to mow your lawn, right? But he's using a lawnmower with a robot on it, and he eats the grass that it cuts. And he
In the nude.
And he kills people as a sacrifice to the god of Pan.
Right.
Which I think the only way you can call this film Stephen King's Lawnmower Man is if you've seen him walk in the cinema, take a picture of him walking in and go, well, he went to see it. Well, this is technically Stephen King's Lawnmower Man.
You bought a ticket.
Yeah.
That's the key thing is, you can't call it Stephen King's Lawnmower Man, and that's coming direct from Stephen King's lawyers who said, no. Right? If you please don't. My client made a very respectable story about a nude man eating the lawn, and you have sullied it, sir, with a monkey VR thing.
And what I love is that the filmmakers went, okay, we won't use Stephen King's Lawnmower Man, and they just carried on using it.
They just did it. They said, all right, we'll stop. Yeah, fuck off. And then they did for a bit, and then they brought it out on home video. They went, yeah, he probably hasn't got a VHS player. He won't see this.
I bet they're the people that ran him over.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Eat up that grass, you prick. They said, as the tyre screeched, they drove off.
A chimpanzee drives away, just giggling.
Chris Rea in the boot. Now, this is what I didn't understand, is that the ape, who's so intelligent, he wears this little space helmet.
Yeah. Robocop cast off.
He's got a Robocop's mask on, that's it. Yeah.
But why is it? There's a couple of questions, because he escapes and he gets his helmet. First of all, where's he got a paperclip from? Right? Also, who's training him? All right, day one, war. Day two, busting a lock with a paperclip, right? He can't have learned that anyway. Also, where is he getting a paperclip? Because we see the entire lab. Right? It's very much a paperless office. Where has he got a paperclip? How intelligent... I mean, he might be working 3 days in the office, so that's a possibility. He's just like, oh, he can kill... This monkey's trained in murdering and sage. So he's...
Brilliant. Trying to cut costs, they make him do the admin as well.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone in the office going, oh, Mr. Frisbee's really good at accounts. We're going to miss him when he goes off to that monkey war.
Problem is the day before he watched The Great Escape.
That was painful, but I enjoyed it nonetheless.
You know what I don't understand, though, is that he's wearing...
You're going to say that a lot tonight.
I know. Yeah. He's wearing his Robocop mask, and if the computer's telling him what to do, right, it's saying, you know, get away, go that way. And there's a bloke, a security guard, watching security while this, who hasn't noticed that Chimp is wandering the hallways with the mask points at his holster and says, take that gun. He takes it, he shoots the bloke, right?
Yeah.
He takes his security card, swipes the guard's security card, and then it says, access security breach. I thought, he's used the card. Why would he use security breach?
It predicts a future where security guards can scan themselves for monkey hands.
Oh, right.
And if it's a monkey hand, you can't... Also, that security guy, this really annoyed me, because I think he was trying to look cyberpunk and cool, because it's sort of... First of all, this security guard is in a corridor. There's no security room. He's just in a corridor, right?
Yeah.
And he's got two monitors, one at chest level, one at, above his head, and he's sitting on a stool.
Which looks like he's going to stand up during a ballad.
Yeah, but he's not going to do... Yeah, exactly. This one goes out to all you lovers, right? He goes, like, but he's sitting there. Imagine doing an 8-hour shift sitting on a stool looking at two monitors that aren't at eye level. This guy, straight away, is going to have long-term neck and back problem, right? Monkeys who work in HR are going to have a fucking word. No one has... This film does not predict little things like convenient keyboard and monitor placement.
It knows as much about ergonomics as it does about VR, which is absolutely nothing.
So. Also, the security system's so advanced, it doesn't spot an ape escaping with it and wandering the hallways. What's the point of having him there?
That's why he's put the helmet on, so nobody knows it's a monkey.
Ah.
he's disguised. He goes, I think that might have been Peter Weller.
He did show an interest in popping in one evening, so maybe he has.
Why is there a monkey helmet? Who's making monkey-sized helmets? Right? Is that one of the... Because I know they're called... Well, the company's called Virtual Space Industries, but they just make virtual spaces. Industries, it's not plural. It's like, oh, yeah, we make virtual industries. What else do you do? Oh, we do Allen keys and monkey hats.
And paper clips.
And paper clips, which...
Keep losing.
We do them pre-unbent, so you can unlock straight away.
Also, don't forget to take your Chris Rea CD on the way out.
Yeah. Basically, every major industry of the 21st century is us. It's just virtual reality, Chris Rea, monkey hats, and we think Allen keys will continue to be a thing.
The only one they got wrong was the monkey hats, really. Anything else? Still going strong in 2020.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Selling a lot of seashells. Not sure why, but no. Let's go with it.
They're selling like fucking hotcakes in Carmarthen. We don't know what they're doing.
I want to give you a scenario. What if that guard was sat on that stool because he was a paedophile and he was being sacked, and the reason this card set off a security breach is because he wasn't allowed to leave his station because he might touch the monkey?
Wait a minute. So you're suggesting this is a paedophile specialising in monkeys?
Yes.
I'm not sure that makes him a paedophile.
That's more of a bestiality thing, I think, isn't it? Yeah. We don't know how old the chimp is, but there's that.
But he's obviously a security risk.
We don't know how old the chimp is. No. He fucked a chimp, and the worst thing is he was under 18.
I've got a back John up here, and I'm trying to be nice.
What is that in monkey years, though? How long do they live for?
Dean?
30-odd years, I think.
I think Bubbles is still going, isn't he?
I think so.
Maybe that was
Bubbles.
And
he's had a hell of a time.
This is very much based on his first escape from Neverland.
Yeah, we are weirdly long-lived for primates, so it's no one near as human length. So, take out of context.
Sorry. Talking about human
length. It's because chimps are all heavy smokers. People don't.
I'm wondering if this guard is a security, security danger. When he uses his card, the alarm goes off.
Also, this entire time, the chimp's helmet and interface is talking to him in English, and he's understanding. So this chimp can speak English, then.
No, but I don't think he can. I think he's looking at this going, what the fuck does all this mean? Because also down the bottom, it's just, if you look at the bottom, it was just random. It was like windings. Like, what was that going to help anyway? Oh, monkeys don't understand English, but windings they fucking get.
Yeah, so who's that for? Who's that information for?
Maybe his alphabet's based on like banana shapes. A made of bananas.
Various fruits and arses.
Yeah. He's like he can read a fruit machine like a book. But yeah,
we have no bananas. So.
That's very good. So he makes his way through the facility, goes through the door, and then we cut to Pierce Brosnan, Angelo, waking up. Ah!
Well, he gets shot. The head of security shoots him.
Oh, yeah.
And then Pierce Brosnan wakes up. Now, a couple of things. Mm. Are we supposed to... Any time in a film when somebody wakes up from a thing you've just seen, you're supposed to think, oh, that was all a dream. That's not
yes,
Pierce, yeah?
Yes, that's what I've got, yeah.
So he goes, I've had a nightmare. Was it about a monkey in a helmet with an Allen key? No, it was... It was actually unrelated to the rest of this plot. We'll go the fuck back to sleep then.
Is that also, the ape version of Cluedo? Monkey in a helmet with an Allen key.
It's a deluxe model, yeah.
But the other thing is, in this cut, I found this out today and it was blowing my mind. In this cut, you're supposed to think the monkey was killed. Because actually, I think because Pierce Brosnan gets a phone call going, oh, you know your favourite monkey?
Yeah.
Dead,
yeah.
But in the director's cut, which is about 40 minutes longer, the monkey lives. And later on, Job and the monkey become like buddies.
Oh my God.
And wow. I kind of want to see that cut now.
Mm. Yeah.
Like BJ and the Bear.
But for the purpose of...
Any job, between monkey. Loose, sort of really weird version.
It's called Monkey Job.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody guard's head off.
And you blew the monkey, didn't you? I did, yes. You said you had a plan. Well, yeah, I didn't.
Not for what you were thinking of.
We can't save the bus full of gold, but I got my end off.
So Pierce Brosnan goes to the company and has a look round, and he's basically saying, oh, I'm tired. And his boss says, you know what, take a hiatus. We'll hush up the fact that we just murdered a monkey.
Yeah. Again.
Yeah.
And that monkey murdered one of our staff, which is, you know, you think that would be something people would notice.
Yeah, you know what? You think that's bad? That member of staff was a nonce. So yeah. I'll be honest with you, our hiring practices around here are shit.
Couldn't even do Excel like the monkey could.
So that monkey's basically just completed his own version of Sleepers. He's killed the Kevin Bacon Nazi guard. They should go and see a little Robert De Niro monkey priest.
Listen carefully. There's two bumper episodes coming out, but that's just the hors d'oeuvre. There's eight more, Roger. Eight of them. People might hear them, Roger. I'm going to lie low. I think you should too.
Brian and Roger are back. Two brand new episodes and a whole new series wherever you get your podcasts. And see Brian and Roger live at the London Podcast Festival and the Menier Chocolate Factory in a whole new stage show. Check websites for ticket details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
So Pierce goes home. He's going to have a break. Meanwhile, we meet Jeffrey Lewis, and he's Irish
for no reason. In fact, it doesn't even make sense that he's Irish.
No, he's terrible.
Well, he drinks a lot, so it may be some sort of unfortunate stereotyping.
Yeah, but his brother is the priest, and his brother is not Irish.
Yeah,
and is that his brother?
Yeah, that's his brother.
Oh God, I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah. There's a lot going on in this film
which I didn't pick up on.
I was really confused, I've got to say, the way they established Job. Because he picks him up and he says, "Come on, Job, it's time to..." No, he says, I was going to do West Country then. He says, "Come on, Job, it's time to mow some lawns." "So it is, so it is." And then he goes, "Ah, what have you made now, Job?" And he's made this, like, crucifix out of car parts. And I'm like, right. what's going on?
Well, that's not weird at all.
That's a perfectly healthy thing to do.
And then they go to the petrol station. And
hasn't he also fixed the lawnmower? Is it this?
Yeah. Yeah, there's this lawnmower, like this big red thing. And it's his pride and joyous. But everyone is way too enthusiastic about this lawnmower.
Clearly just to
justify the film's title. No one's ever been this excited about a lawnmower in the real world.
I mean, if anything, they're making a statement about the internet, because someone will have a website around, you know, a few years later talking about how much they love their lawnmower.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hang on, I'm Googling lawnmower fetishists.
Oh. they call them flymos.
Fetish. Oh, God. Oh, right. Do you know what? I didn't expect to find anything, but... Yep, nobody Google that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, probably not. That's not a problem.
It's just Alan Titchmarsh wanking over a... hover mower. So they go to a petrol station.
Is it this time as Job is supposed to be a mechanical genius?
I didn't think so. I didn't get that.
No, I just thought, he'd
fixed the big red lawnmower.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Can we try it today?" "Yeah, we can, because it's a fucking lawnmowing job."
Not really. We're changing official light bulbs.
Yeah. We don't need official permission for that. Like, no reply to the council. Can I have my lawnmower today?
This isn't the fucking Spruce Goose, mate. We can just take it out of the lawn and use it.
I know, but all I'm saying is, I think it's established that he's fixed a lawnmower. And I'll say this. I can't fix a lawnmower, and I've got a humanities degree. Right?
Wow.
2-1, right? But I can't fix a lawnmower, and this boy can. And he is...
Sorry, you lost the match. Yeah, well, okay, so we've established that Job has fixed a lawnmower.
Yeah.
And we're going to use it today. So they go to the petrol station to fill it up with gas, and we meet Jake.
I did not catch his name.
I think it was Jake. He's smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, Sex Pest Petrol Man.
Sex Pest Petrol Man. And yeah, did anyone think that Jeff Fahey... Mm-hmm. Looks like Chris, the other Chris, what's he called? Pine.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
it's like he could be his dad.
The times this, he looks like Chucky from Charles Play sometimes. Mm.
I'll tell you exactly what he looks like. Mm. He's got his shoulder strapped down, his hair's a mess, and everyone keeps calling him a half. And he's like, everyone says he's a half. He's not that stupid. Basically, he's as clever as every drummer I've ever met. And he looks like one as well.
Which one does he look like?
Like every drummer I ever knew.
Just an amalgamation of them all. Mm.
But he tells the guy off for smoking a cigarette, and the guy kind of threatens him. So he's in Job's bad books. So then we cut to Dean Norris from You're Breaking Bad, except he's doing an English accent here?
Yeah,
I think he's doing... Yeah, it's an odd thing, isn't it?
Mm. It's kind of almost like Prince Edward sometimes, I thought.
I didn't see him sweat. Oh, no, I'm thinking of the other one. Sorry.
Yeah. We've got one nonce already. We don't need any more. It's fine.
No. That's Dean Burnett said that.
Yeah. Didn't say about who, though. So
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Alleged.
Yeah. So Dean Norris, I think he's basically saying, I want to see some progress from these experiments. Yeah.
What is it with the blooming 1984 Big Brother vibe in this office? Why?
Oh, I know. Why? That office winds me right up. It's just this horrible, brutalist room. It's so impractical. Because the thing is, it's not just for having creepy meetings in.
Oh. Yeah.
It's like it's just this brutalist nightmare. Like, it's just, I'm sure, the rest of the time, it's just going to be normal people having a meeting. And they're like going to be like, okay, and Ken, do you want to give us the quarterly sales figures? No, really, I'm freaked out in here.
There's a giant face looking at me.
There's a giant, can we do this in a Costa like we did last year? It was much better when we were just working out of a Regis.
Also, like later on, like there's the same room again, the same guy on the big screen, and they keep doing close-ups of his mouth. So you just see
I know.
Why is this a good idea? It reminded me of when my father first got a 50-inch high-def telly. He turned it on, and he had a sports channel. He went straight to the darts. So just the first thing we saw was this massive close-up of a darts player's nose in high-def, and it was not great. It wasn't the nicest thing to start off with.
I think what you're saying to all of us, Dean, and you know, permit me to translate for you. You're scared of the future.
I'll allow that with the caveat. I'm scared of this future.
But then we get
that doesn't look fun at all.
Then we get one of I think five instances of Pierce Brosnan gurning and going. He's at home in his basement on his homemade VR set, which looks like a sex swing.
Yeah,
he's got the headset on and he's doing what was it? Flying.
He has selected falling on this one.
Oh, yeah.
He's floating, flying, falling.
Floating, flying, falling. And he's going, and he's, at first I thought he was having sex because he's kind of going, But then we cut to see what he's seeing, and it's like this, like silver mannequin.
Yeah.
Flying through a lava lamp.
Well, he doesn't see that because he is the silver mannequin.
Oh, yeah.
He's just seeing a bunch of, pink bubbles floating around. Yeah. And he's falling through.
This would be fun. I mean, I think when they first brought out the VR, the modern one, the thing you experience most often is just violent motion sickness. Your senses have started to argue with each other, and brain doesn't like that. It's a known thing.
We should probably talk about that now because people at home don't know what Dean does for a living.
Hello.
Apart from the murdering.
That's just a hobby, and you know it is.
Tell us your official title, Dean.
Dr. Dean Manette, official title moment is an honorary research associate at Cardiff University's School of Psychology.
But you're an expert with brains.
That's essentially what I get treated as, yes.
I'm doing the layman act here. So tell us about what the VR does to the brain.
Makes you sick, really. It's just a big screen wrapped around your head. It doesn't really do anything that it's... If I had to be generous and try to sort of extrapolate what the... rationale for this whole Pierce Brosnan's work would be. You keep mentioning, nootropic drugs a lot. The ones which, they basically enhance brain cell production. They are brain boosters. But that doesn't actually make you smarter because it's all about the connections in your brain. So making...
Not what you know, it's who you know,
Pretty much, yeah. It's, if you had loads of more connections in your brain, that's like putting a page missing from a book, just putting loads of letters on it, and it's not the same thing. So you have to sort of then coach the brain to make new connections which work or which are more useful, and maybe the VR is doing that. But that is some wild extrapolation which is never established in this. I don't think that's what they were going for.
So personally, if you were doing a flying simulator, would it what's the word?
Make you sound climaxy.
Yeah, no, but also would it, stimulate the corpus berum at the bottom of your brain there?
It would be a little bit stimulating because a lot of it's based on the visual stuff. So if it looks like things are going past, you might think, I'm flying a bit. But the fact is in that weird bungee bed, that doesn't really replicate the sensation completely. So it wouldn't be orgasmic.
Well, Pierce Brosnan would argue with you about that.
Well, apparently so, yes.
Yeah.
But his girlfriend says, floating, falling, what's next? Fucking? And I can guarantee you that would be the first thing they would have done with this.
Oh, of course. I've always said the first thing that got printed on the printing press was a pair of tits.
Absolutely.
Because porn is always there first. It's like, we can go on the internet, everyone. What's his face? www.man. What was his name?
www.man.com.
Yeah, what was his name? The man who... Tim Berners-Lee.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, I have created a way the whole world can talk to each other and no one's listening to him because they're all looking at tits.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So,
cave paintings were tits, weren't they?
Cave paintings were tits. basically human beings should be eradicated because of all the perverts.
Ah, right.
The thing
now
is,
we get the genocide finally.
there we are. Yeah, you heard it here first. Mind you, to be fair, those cave paintings of tits were in France. You know what the French are like.
That's very true.
So,
was it France then? Though was it France?
Wasn't it the Le Croix?
I know, but that, no, I think those paintings predate France. So
you say that, but there's an Eiffel Tower next to them.
Oh. Yeah.
At least I think it's an Eiffel Tower.
Also, you should see Welsh cave paintings. They're only from the 90s. There's no tits in them. There's no tits in them.
Buffalo turned out to be a Ford Transit. Three blokes chasing it with sticks.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Having tire sandwiches. So, yeah, his girlfriend's really annoyed, as you would be if you were married to Pierce Brosnan.
Because she only has, like, what, four or five lines in this, but she's pretty much right every time.
Yes.
No, she's not. She's a pain in the arse.
How is she a pain in the arse? What?
Right.
What's your answer?
He's in an executive role in a high-stress job. He's been essentially sacked. All he's done is, this is the day after he's finished, all he's done is gone downstairs and played his computer games for a minute, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, fucking bollocks. Right? And then he's just like...
That's the director's cut again.
Yeah. That's the version I saw. You're a fucking bollocks. You know?
I would have much preferred that.
He's just, maybe all he wants to do is have a day of chilling out, right? Because the thing is, just, what are you doing? You fucking your machine? No, I'm not. I've just got a thing over my head, right? It's not, I haven't plugged in the cockpit.
Right? Like, haptic suit on, right?
There you go. When you go up, though, I'm going to have to rinse it out. Anyway, the point is, right, she wouldn't be kicking off. If she walked downstairs and he was just on a SNES playing Street Fighter, she wouldn't be like, oh, Street Fighter, what's next? Street fucking? Like, no, calm down. Right, it's a bit of a leap. And then the thing she complains about, oh, you said you were going to take me to the city. Non-specific.
The city. Yeah. Yeah. I noticed that. Probably. That.
Which city was it again? No, Vancouver is cheaper to film there. But so she's angry about that. It's like, he has had a hell of a week, right? His monkey died.
Mm-hmm. Favourite one.
His favourite monkey. She knows that. And she's being a bit of a dick. It's like, you know what, love? I just need a couple of days to chill out. Then I'll take you to whatever city you want to go to. Vancouver, Bromsgrove, I don't know. Just let me have a rest. And or wherever. And then she just like... And then she goes, that's it, I'm leaving you. That's an overreaction.
I don't know. I got the vibe that this is happening a lot. Like, so you promise you take me to city. Like, we haven't been anywhere for ages. And he's like, I just need a couple... I did just some time to myself. Fuck off, Pierce.
She should break out the Polaroids of him and his favourite monkey going to Disneyland.
Yeah. You always love that monkey. Yeah. It's an ape!
I'd love that if he pulls out a picture of him and the monkey and her in like different on holiday and like them at the Grand Canyon and the monkey and him are smiling. She's like, I'm getting really sick of this monkey coming with us every time.
And then he goes full taffing, you know. You shouldn't be having a go at my ape, screaming in her face.
But he tells her that this technology will change the world.
He's insufferable there, though. I'm sorry. I have worked with guys like this, and they are all, to a man, bellends.
Wait, what kind of guys? Soft-spoken Irishmen?
No, academics with, who care about their work a lot. We got one of them, a wanker.
Imagine doing that.
I didn't get a postdoc. What are the odds of that? Yeah? Yeah. I'm not bitter. Screw you. Shut up. You can't fire me. I quit. Etc.
And I'm taking my monkey carcass with me.
Please do.
We've just condensed Dean's autobiography into a sentence there.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
It's like one big flashback. So then he's a bit annoyed because she's gone, and then he spies Job mowing the lawn, and he exchanges comic books with the kid from Last Action Hero.
Oh, is that him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then we're all like, oh, isn't it sweet that Job is a child and his best friend's a child? And then the neighbour's kid's dad turns up and he beats him up.
Yep, seen a bit of that already. It's a bit of child beating for colour, of course, I suppose.
Stephen, well, everyone in this is getting abused.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they really are.
Or is an abuser, yeah. Which is not a light thing to say, but it is. It's a weird vibe.
I'd be interested to know if that's in the book, because I'm guessing it isn't, because this is,
there's nothing like that in the book.
I'm guessing, you know, because the book is about a man, after all, who... in the nude eats grass, so I don't think it's got
Well, the short story this is technically more based on is Flowers for Algernon, which is about this exact thing, about a very man with subpar intelligence who's given the medical treatment to make him more intelligent. He becomes a genius, but it's all told from his perspective, and it's an old story from the 50s.
Hmm.
And it has nothing to do with VR or lawnmowers. So, yeah. So
well, they missed the trick there, didn't they?
Yeah, good story, but I think that they can get away with not crediting it in this because they added the whole shit graphics and lawnmowers angle. Which
and an ape with a gun.
Yeah, that wasn't in it. That was definitely not in it.
But Chris Rea was, funnily enough. Yeah, so then he Job goes home and gets whipped by a priest.
Which is called in as well. He's just like, do you want to be whipped by a priest? Call 0800. He goes, I think I do, all right. It's like Deliveroo.
He just got the wrong number, bless him. Are you my pizza? No, I'm a priest and I'm going to whip you. Which will ironically give you a horrible topping.
Oh, God.
So then Angelo, so Pierce Brosnan, he's tempted to sort of abandon his work. And then he spies Job and thinks, oh, hello. He's a bit thick. I'll use him as a guinea pig. I don't mean I'm going to put him up my bum. So he gets Job in and gets him to play games, which is like the monkey thing I was talking about earlier. Press this button here and this sort of thing. It's very simple stuff.
I will say those games do exist, and by and large, pigs can do them. So Job is subpar intelligence to livestock at this particular point in time.
He can fix a lawnmower,
yes, exactly.
But he can't match up a square to a square.
You should have trouble just like putting one foot in front of the other if you can't do this. So yeah.
This would be much better if it was a sequel to Forrest Gump.
Oh.
And God. Then, Jenny, after you died, I was mowing lawns. You know how much I love mowing lawns. And I entered the VR world and fucked a woman to death. So we're kind of even on that one.
We all have a destiny. Mine was to enter VR and fuck a woman to death.
So he gets him playing these simple games that apparently pigs can do, and then he injects him.
Yeah, this is all kinds of wrong. I'm sorry. It's really, really, this is so ethically off the map. You know this guy has subpar intelligence. You know he hasn't got the insight to consent to this. I'm like, I just play my computer game
I'm sorry, Dean, but if this is important to the future of humanity, I don't think there's anything unethical about dragging a man with learning difficulties into your basement
and injecting
him with unknown chemicals and making him play Windows 95.
I mean, just think, if it could stop all war tomorrow, I'd do it.
Yeah.
I guess.
I did do it, and it didn't work.
That's why we're here. It's just an intervention for Dan. No one's hearing this.
But he does say, because at this point he started doing, he's like got a computer dictaphone. I'm going to record my angry thoughts. And he says, his mind is like a clean, hungry sponge. Well, that sounds horrible. So then he redesigns...
I may note that as well,
yeah.
Some of the writing in this is like, what? Just now the kid says, hey, doctor, whatever his name is.
His name's Larry, for a start, which Larry, I think we need to address at some point.
Hey, Larry, can we play Cyber Boogie today? Like, oh, that is such a... That's a
middle-aged man.
Written by a guy who's in his 50s who has no idea what any of this means.
Shush, I'm trying to listen to Derek and the Skidmarks, my favourite punk band. But it's 1991. Shh.
Pokemon I like them more than Chris Rea.
Shut up, I'm trying to listen to Chris Rea. Kids love Chris Rea. Hey, Larry, have you got Chris Rea Brothers 3? Super Chris Rea Brothers?
He's got a tail in this one, he can fly.
It is actually a bit in a
it's
minute.
It's me, Chris Rea. Sorry.
There we go. That's the joke that owns that one, I think.
Oh, God.
I was going to say, Dan, there's a T-shirt, but that's not what we do here now, is it? Sorry, that's...
That's when we're off the books. Yeah. If you do want to get a T-shirt that Dan's designed, then just follow him on Twitter. You'll see them all.
Yeah, probably.
But also, a minute out of this, because maybe you guys can shed some light on it, because when they play the weird sort of space game in a few minutes...
The really shit one.
Yeah. It's like a Wipeout before PlayStation, when you know, detect couldn't handle it.
It's a Wipeout with like corpses that you've stolen from an Undertaker.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you know the game Wipeout? You know what it needs more of? Buttocks.
Yeah.
Really strong emphasis on the silver buttocks.
You know what it reminded me of? Do you know those games they used to play on Saturday morning telly where you'd ring in and you'd be like,
Yeah,
go forward.
Nightmare vibes to it, didn't it?
Yeah, Nightmare, exactly. The one where you're chased by that fat wasp.
And just that, only that.
Yeah, exactly. That was the only bit of the game.
And there his was name was Traeger.
Yeah. And there was me at the time thinking, when are they going to bring that game out? I want to play it. Imagine if they fuck it. I mean, I think they did and it was awful.
Yeah, there was a Commodore 64 game of it, and yes. I had that, and I couldn't get past the first room because it was actually baffling.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the game. That's the kind of game they're playing, and they love it.
Yeah. But afterwards, the kid says, whoa, that was sketch. Now, is that slang at the time which I missed, or is that them I predicting future slang badly?
I think they're predicting future slang badly. Okay, I think it was the name of Chris Rea's new album.
Whoa, that was sketch. That was sketch by Chris Rea. Next up.
It's a me. The news today, Bob Hoskins will be playing Chris Rea in the Hollywood adaptation of Super Chris Rea Brothers.
Hey, it's me, Chris Rea.
Rea.
So he's boosting his intelligence, and he then redesigns the intelligence boosting treatments to remove the aggression factors, because that's what went wrong with the chimp.
It's my understanding they were trying to make the chimp into a weapon or a soldier, even though smaller than this and not as smart as a human, so they would be a shit soldier.
Well, at least they can chuck shit if they run out of bullets.
We can do that, John.
Yeah, true, but they're better at it.
Yeah, they have more practice, I guess. But.
Yeah, or also, you could feed them grenades and they could shit grenades and throw them.
Yeah, well, my little point of order, if it's mature, a chimp is by and large far more aggressive than human anyway, so that's where they went wrong.
Well, why would you make something that's naturally aggressive more aggressive? Also, if they used a bonobo, it would fall in love and mate for life.
Well, that'd be worse for the enemy, surely. Gigantic Randy Ape just coming at you.
You'd have to send out a troop of monkey priests who would marry them to that enemy soldier, and then they wouldn't be able to kill them because they'd have to go to court. I thought about the legal implications.
that's a more elaborate fix than I was going for. But okay.
Send out the crack troop of priest monkeys.
You think we just shoot them back? No. We've got to do this by the book.
And
the good book.
And they'd be like the Red Cross. You aren't allowed to shoot them because they're doing the Lord's work.
Oh, God.
So, meanwhile, Job goes back home. The priest's angry with him and goes to hit him, but Job catches his hand and says, you shouldn't hit people.
Valid.
Oh. The priest is a bit freaked out by that and leaves.
I got a question that we haven't really covered. What's wrong with Job?
He was fixing a lawnmower and it went off and ran over his brain.
which happens later.
Which happens later.
But is there anything diagnosable here? Because...
No, I don't think so.
He's just a drummer. Okay, that's fine.
He's neither use nor ornament.
he's just a little bit tup. Use a Welsh phrase. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Just poorly educated, I guess. It's never been... Yeah, it's never clarified. What...
He is Forrest, he is Forrest Gump, though, but without the... The hindsight.
Hindsight?
Well, Forrest, you know, he invested in Apple, didn't he?
I don't think that was foresight.
Sorry, foresight, not
hindsight. right.
Yeah, sorry, I got the wrong way around. Yeah, he invested in Apple. He invented the smiley face.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, Yathid face, yeah. Somehow. He met Elvis. Taught Elvis how to dance. He met John F. Kennedy and assassinated him.
He wrote Imagine.
He wrote Imagine.
Which is worse somehow.
God, that bit. That voice they use in that Imagine bit. It's easy if you try, Dick.
Yeah. It sounds like Conan O'Brien doing a funny impression of John Lennon.
Yeah. No Religion 2.
God, I forgot about that scene. God, that film is garbage.
It's
quite nice garbage, though. Even though he is,
I'm sure it's lovely.
Even though at the beginning they drop the bombshell that his granddad was a horrendous racist.
Yeah,
Yeah, he said your dad started the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh,
God, and we yeah, named yeah. you after, and oh, we Nathaniel named Bedford, you after
of course.
Him.
Yeah, of course. Mm. The notorious racist general, yeah, of course.
Which, yeah. And she goes, it's to remind you not to do bad things. It's like, well, call him after somebody. Name him after fucking Mr. Rogers, then.
Yeah.
I just...
Chris Rea. Like,
yeah. Your name's Chris Rea Gump, right? To show you that some people are perfectly nice doing mid-tier adult-oriented rock.
I imagine the scene now. Forrest pulls over in his car. A hitchhiker gets in and he goes, "Here, Forrest man, you're going home because I want to drive home for Christmas." And then Forrest goes, "That sounds like the name of a pretty song." He goes, "Aye, you're right. I've got my guitar here. I'll write it now."
Yeah, Chris Rea pulled up alongside him when he was running. He's like, "You not want a lift, man?"
No, this is a road to hell. Oh, yeah. Thanks again.
I'll write both of those.
Mr. Gump, you got a royalty letter from Mr. Rea again. It turns out you wrote another hit for him. And you know, to this day, I still don't know who Chris Rea is. Chris Rea once said to me, "Life is like a top 10 hit."
Life is like a mushroom power-up.
You never know what you're going to get.
Usually you get a bit bigger or you throw flames out of your fingers.
That is life. He's not wrong. So then Pierce shows the results to his boss. He's bald boss. I've just written here bald boss. I don't even know.
Yeah, he's just baldy all the way through.
This is. I'll say, like, everyone he works with, they are 100% classic movie suits, aren't they? Like, they're all just bureaucrats. They have no actual personality. They just represent the system.
They may as well just be like empty suits.
Yeah, literally.
With socks coming out of their mouths. Googly eyes on them.
Except
this is amazing work, Pierce. Well done.
The bald guy is slightly evil, but he just looks evil.
Yeah, he looks like.
This is the scene where this is in a film with pretty bad dialogue. This has got the worst bit of dialogue in it.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, I think this is amazing what you're doing. If you tell Washington what you've been up to, they'll give you both tits.
Both tits?
Yeah, they'll give up both tits.
Okay.
I was like, okay, that's not a phrase anyone uses.
No.
It's the future, though, isn't it? It's really sketch.
It's really sketch. Pierce Brosnan's only in this to win two small birds.
At least Pierce Brosnan in this scene dresses quite nice, because up until this point, he has been dressed like Onslow from Keeping Up Appearances.
Yeah.
When he breaks with his girlfriend, he's wearing some very revealing shorts.
Yeah, and like boat shoes.
Yeah.
Like, if any of us dressed like that, we'd never see anything again.
Freedom.
I thought you were going to talk about a squirrel then.
Yeah, we'd never see a squirrel again. But because it's Pierce Brosnan, you almost don't notice that he's dressed like...
Yeah, he's at his prime, isn't he, really? In his pomp, as they say.
Well, Pierce says to Bald Man, the results are encouraging, but I want to use the lab because I can only go so far at home. I want to use the lab.
He's doing home research in his basement, which is, I mean, that's all sorts of wrong as well. But.
I mean, you've done that. I mean, you've taken a brain home for the weekend.
Yeah, but I wasn't meant to.
No. You put wax lips on the jar. Yeah.
Gone for a boat ride on Rough Lake.
That's right, yeah. With Miss Bilmahay. Why didn't you go, why, Dean, haven't you done a stand-up tour called The Man with Two Brains?
You need to have people who want to see that before you do stuff like that.
I'd be in the front row if you talked about brain tits.
Okay, if I could run a tour just on you, I would happily do so.
Wonderful.
I can just come to your house if you want and just do it in your room.
Yeah, oh, that'd be nice.
Let's do that. Let's do that.
Yeah. Don't come in. I'll just sit in my front window and you can sit in the front garden.
In the garden.
Yeah.
This has now become a crossover episode with different podcasts.
Oh, yeah, I talked about brain tits. Sorry. Sorry, everybody. Brain tits. I'll let it out, all the brain tits bits. So, meanwhile... Job goes to the gas station and he's dressed a bit better
different.
Now. Yeah, he's intelligent. He's learned how to use a fucking air straightener. Mm. Right, that's the first thing he's learned to do. Mm. Also, I think she was established earlier. Yes, she was established earlier. There's the widow in town who likes to fuck. Mm. Right? Mm.
Yeah.
And we see her again. She's at the petrol station and she looks in the rear view mirror. Oh, first of all, we get that the petrol station bloke.
Jake
opens up her bonnet and says, "What do you want?" And she goes, "Check my fluids." And then she's like, wink, horny.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then it's like, it's on beer. Then she looks in the rearview mirror and she sees Job's ass, right? Mm. And we see that Job is bent over by his car.
Yeah.
But he's not doing anything. It's literally, he's just been stood there, bent over for like 20 minutes, waiting for somebody to go, oh, ass.
Yeah. He's smart now. He's worked out the angles. He's like, that's what's happened. You're smart. You work out where your ass is. And you dress like a bisexual line dancer or something.
Yeah. So, yeah. He looks lovely at this point.
He looks very, for a brief period,
he was a good-looking boy.
Piercing blue eyes, pardon the pun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. But yeah, he looks like Chris Pine's
dad. Pierce has Jeff in brown eyes.
Yeah, it does. And you can see that when he bends over.
Especially in those shorts.
And that's end of part one of this episode of Smirsh Pod. We'll be back later in the week with part two. So please stick around, but in the meantime, why not like, subscribe, review, enjoy, share, tell everybody you like. See you next time.
Hello, I'm Tom, and I make a podcast where I log in to celebrities' Amazon accounts. It's called...
What a brilliant idea for a pod. There's no original pods out there anymore, but this genuinely is.
Oh, thanks, Ben Bailey-Smith. Anyway, it's called...
This is good, isn't it? It's clever, this podcast. You should do more.
Thanks, Kerry Godleyman. It's called...
This is such a great idea, by the way. What great podcast.
Shappy Corsander, you're too kind. The podcast is called...
It's biographical. You can get all sorts of information out of people. This is a very good idea.
Thank you, Nick Helm. It's called My Mate Bought a Toaster.
I'm going to listen to this podcast.
Thanks, Alex Horn. Can you tell your friends?
GreatBigOwl.com.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.